All right, let's take a minute. And guys, you know, I need everybody just to stop, and I want you to think about why you're here. Now listen, some of you might be here for different reasons. Some because maybe your mom brought you. Some because maybe you want to be here. You know, some because you want to learn more or get more knowledge about the Word of God. Some maybe because, quite frankly, it's a little bit deeper than just knowledge. I want to know Jesus better. Some maybe I want to know my best friend better, my Savior, my Lord. And I want to encourage you. You know, a lot of people can come for different things. It's great to come for the food and the fellowship and all those type things. But our main reason, and it's great to come here for Bible knowledge, and you'll get that. But the main reason to come here is to get to know Jesus. His heart, His word, His spirit. He is the only one who's going to satisfy. You know, as we're fellowship and you enjoy the company, He's the only one that's going to really be there for you in those lonely times and when no one else understands the situation. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be there in the situation where nobody understands you. You know, you could be in a big crowd of people and still feel like you're alone. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is going to be the one that is there ministering to you. Do you know what I'm saying? If you just get head knowledge when you come, then you miss everything. God wants to do this. He wants to take His word, and He wants you to hide it down deep in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back up at the right time in your life so that you can obey Him and please the Lord. And so God has so much more than just knowledge He wants to give you. He wants to give you an abundant life. And that abundant life is found in a deep relationship with Him. I don't want you to know Him as just, I want to say this, hopefully you'll hear the heart behind it, as just King God. Do you know what I'm saying? I want you to know Him as Abba, as a father, as daddy. And even more than that, I want you to know Him as Jesus, my best friend. I was talking with a young lady who came over to our house Saturday. And, you know, we were just talking about her walk with the Lord and stuff. And she was saying, you know, even when she was a young girl, she remembered that Jesus was her best friend. And she could talk to Jesus about anything. And even when things were going terrible, she would talk to Him and she would communicate and she would, and that's the kind of relationship that God wants you to be in with Him. Did you know it's not just you speaking to God, it's God speaking to you as well. He wants to open your ears, your understanding, that you can walk in His ways. That's who He is. Okay? And we're going to see a guy by the name of Solomon, okay? Who he starts off really good here in these first few chapters. He's taken on the kingdom of Israel from his dad David. David was a warrior. Solomon is his son, and he's taken over. David has died. Solomon's became king. He's just secured the kingdom right now. You know, Solomon is a man of peace. He's not a man of war, not a warrior like his dad. His name means peace. Okay? And so we are in 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon is a really interesting character. He does some really awesome things, and he does some really knucklehead things. He's a really complex person in the Bible. You know, but he also gives hope for, I don't know, he gives me hope because I can see the mistakes he made. And if you can see the things that he's doing right and, like, emulate them, then you're going to be in much better shape as a believer. If you can see the things that he's done wrong and say, gosh, that was dumb. Lord, don't let me fall in that same trap. Then you're going to be smarter. You're going to be stronger in your walk with the Lord. And so here's this young man taking on this whole kingdom. And we're starting off in the first few verses. Why don't we read, I'll have somebody read maybe 1 Kings chapter 3 verses, how about, well, we'll just start off with verse 1. We'll just see where that leads us. Somebody read that for me nice and loud. Okay, can you do it nice and loud? Okay.
Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace in the temple of the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, right there. So we'll stop right there. So this is like one of the first things King Solomon does. Now, tell me, is that right or wrong? Or is it every... Does that seem like a good idea, what he just did there?
Right.
Read that verse. And tell me, what do you think? Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Oh, go ahead. Jackson, you started to say something?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a bad idea, personally, because I think it's more of a political power play and more of a, I guess, an influential thing. He's trying to gain an alliance with Pharaoh, so therefore he marries his daughter. I don't really think he cares about his daughter, just the fact that he wants to see Pharaoh that he cares about him, I guess, so to speak, to try to get to a better place with him.
Okay, well, that's good, because back in the old days, that used to be how that they would do things, right? You know, the king would try to marry a king from another country. It wouldn't be because they marry off his son or his daughter. It wouldn't be because they loved each other. It would be a political move, right? So that they have an alliance. If I knew that one of my sons was marrying the daughter in another kingdom, I see your hands, then I would be certainly less likely to attack that country because, hey, my son is married to the, you know, princess or whatever. So it was a good, and also maybe I could get him to give me the inside scoop over there. So it doesn't seem like a really good move there. But what else? What else? You were raising your hand too.
It was good for like a political reason.
Yeah.
But it was bad because God said not to marry foreign women, and that was an Egyptian.
Oh. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. That's a good point. Deuteronomy, first five books of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 3. There myself. Now this is when God is saying, in fact, why don't you, Hezekiah, if you're there, would you mind reading that?
So, chapter 7, what?
Verses 1 through 3.
Okay, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. Okay, I got it right. Okay. Possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the
Girgashites,
the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites,
Perizzites, Hivites,
the Jebus, and the Jebusites,
the Termites, the Cellulite, all the ites.
Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, then you have defeated them. Then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, or show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons to take their daughters. For your sons.
And here's the reason why.
For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And
the Lord's anger. Yeah, keep going.
Anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you.
So God's saying, man, I want you, when you're going to displace these people, I want you to get rid of them. Not because I don't love them, I do. But he's like, I know. God knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows what's coming down the pipe. He knows if you're going to give these to your sons and daughters or take their daughters to be married, they're going to turn your hearts astray. And that's exactly what happened with Solomon. Nehemiah chapter 13. You know, King Solomon was a pretty amazing dude, but they were even talking about him in Nehemiah's day. And they're talking about him not in a good way. Okay? So that should tell you something. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 25 to 27. Nehemiah chapter 13, 23 to 27. Can someone read that for me? Yeah, go ahead. Action, Jefferson.
13:23-27.
I certainly hope so. Yes, I didn't turn there because I'm hoping that I wrote it down right.
Moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah marry women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. After the children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the name of Judah, I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair.
Ouch!
I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage to your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon the king of Israel sinned? Among the many nations there was no king like him, who was loved by his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you are too...
Yeah, that's good enough. So here, he's being talked about all these years later. What a great king. I mean, they're going to prosper financially under Solomon's leadership to where gold and silver are useless. I mean, silver is like nothing in the country. And this has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with different culture. It has nothing to do with different color. It has nothing to do with anything like that. What it does have to do with is that these men or these women are going to turn your hearts, and that's exactly what Scripture says has happened in 1 Kings chapter 11. It says this, unfortunately, for our king. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says, in verse 2, it says, they were the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not marry them. King Solomon, verse 1 said, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, and it goes on, even though the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. And so it ends up saying that in verse 6 that Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he did not follow the Lord completely like his father David. And that's exactly what all these women did. They didn't just take, it wasn't just the person, they took their gods with them. And for me, that should be, if we've got young people here today, can I just give you a word of advice? You don't have to listen to me. But I just want to give you, listen, if you're a Christian and you love Jesus, honestly, guy or girl, you better make sure that the man or the woman that you're going to marry loves Jesus. Make sure. I would literally, I beg you, but I'm just going to warn you. I'm instead of beg, the Lord just kind of convicted me right there. Don't say beg. I would warn you. If you love Jesus, then you better make sure if that girl's from Egypt, or that guy's from Kentucky, or that woman's from Venezuela or Canada, whatever, Nigeria, Alaska, whatever, you make sure that that man or woman loves the Lord. Because here's what's going to happen. One of two things, and ladies, you might not even like that I'm going to say this, but it's still the truth. There's much greater chance, too, if you marry a guy who does not love the Lord, there's a much greater chance, I've watched them to go astray. Because they tend to follow the guy's lead on some of that stuff. Now, that's just the truth. Now, it's the same thing with guys marrying those girls. Either way, your walk is going to be stunted. I absolutely guarantee it. Here, this is the truth now. Okay? So listen to me. Girls, guys, listen. 110%. If you love Jesus, one of the most miserable places I've ever seen other Christians, it's usually a man or a woman who loves Jesus with all their heart and soul, married to a man or a woman, we care less about Jesus. Because the two become one, and it's a constant tearing. It's a constant pulling of the opposite directions. Now, thank God, by His grace and His power, that woman could still stand. And that man can still stand. But they are of some of the most hurting people I've ever seen. So this is a warning for you and an encouragement. You know, if you love Jesus, make sure the person you're going to marry, and don't trick yourself, well, I think they're going to become a Christian. Or make sure they're at the same place in your walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, and also, you know, we don't think when we're looking at someone googly-eyed about having children, but eventually that's probably going to happen, to marry them. And then the children end up really confused because mom's doing one thing, and she said on this, and dad's making fun of her, jumping and saying, oh, don't believe what she says, and the kid gets really mixed up, and they end up like worse off than if they were just one or the other.
Yes. And honestly, more so, for some reason, you know, maybe somebody else could explain it, but more so if the dad is an unbeliever, too, the kids have much more tendency, you know.
Well,
there's something about them. Go ahead, what?
Because the dad's supposed to lead. I mean, the dad's ultimately the one that's responsible for the children's spiritual welfare.
Yes. Now, thank God the kids still have to make their own decision. So nobody here has to be held hostage by that. If your mom isn't following, or some of you kids, neither of your parents, I know, are following. But what is it? God is giving you your own choice. But all I'm saying is, for the future, you do have to think about those things.
You have to lay a good foundation for your...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes?
I encourage my kids all the time, too, to remember to be continually growing into that person, the kind of person you want to marry to be effective, too.
Absolutely.
You have to always grow yourself, so...
Yes. Yeah, what's almost kind of funny in a sad way is, I want to really marry a godly person. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's disaster, because you're not very good. You need to come up and be that godly person. If you want to marry a godly person, be a godly person.
But couldn't he just fix me?
Yeah, right. Yes.
No, that's the woman's job. Fix me.
Yeah, yeah. I've watched, believe me, I've counseled 20 years in ministry. I've watched this. So I'm not a noob. And it's teens, 20s, 30s, 50s, 70s, 80s, you name it. 90, I'd say, is the limit there. But counseling, but you get the idea. Yes?
I was going to say, what him and I always talk about, too, with our kids, is that, you know, don't put yourself in a position to, like don't, it's a non-starter if they don't love the Lord.
Right.
I mean, great to be, to bring the
But Lord they're so cute. They're so nice. You don't understand. We have the same interests. You don't understand. But he's coming to church.
But he's the only one that likes him.
But she's coming. Yes, I've been alone for so long. But he's coming to Bible study. Let me tell you something also. Okay, girls especially, I'm talking to you. Okay, listen. Listen. Guys especially can be manipulators. And they will. Now, listen, women can be too. I'm saying that. I'm a guy, okay? I can say this. Listen. Especially a worldly guy, and they're going to say and do whatever they need to say and do to get what they want and to please you. I've watched this happen with a Christian too, and I beg them, please, you're already dating them. Do not marry yet. Wait to see if he comes. Liberty's coming. I'm telling you, do not. So right here, Solomon makes a dumb move. And he's going to end up leading his heart astray. And not only that, you know what else is going to happen? It's going to lead... It's what?
He's going to repeat it.
Yes. His kids. The same way. And you know what else? The whole nation. Your sin affects others around you. It also says in that first verse, don't make an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Old Testament, Egypt is a picture of what?
Sin
in the world. So that's what they're... I think that's another little picture for us. Okay? Don't make an alliance with the world. In whatever your business, whatever your business dealings are, whatever your friend... Listen, I'm not saying you can't be friends with non-believers. I have friends that are non-believers. I love them dearly. Okay? But when we're talking about an alliance, you're talking about intimate, that partnership. Listen, you cannot be friends with the world. You know, in James, it says this: friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. Now, that's pretty strong words. Why do you think God says that? That seems strong. Friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. What do you mean? What? Go ahead, what?
When you're exposing yourself to somebody a lot, eventually, even as hard as you want to try, something's going to rub off. And if you continue with the friendship, then those somethings are going to turn into something else, and it could eventually cause you to stray from the Lord.
Absolutely. So that's why God says, man, don't make an alliance. There's a couple of scripture verses. Listen, guys, I want you to look up really quickly. You know, think about this too. When Jesus was in the desert and he was without food and drink, and remember Satan came to tempt him? You guys remember that story, right? Do you remember there's something that was very specific that I thought was very interesting in Matthew chapter 4, 8 to 10. So turn there real quick, or somebody turn there, and I want you to read that. Hey, would you grab the Bible? Because I want you to find that stuff too. Matthew chapter 4, 8 to 10. Who has that? Okay, go ahead.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of all of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
That tells me that Satan does have power here on this earth. I'll give you that. Hey, you want riches? You want that all that? You want to be number one? You want that money? You want the riches? You want the power? You want the splendor? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. You want that guy? You want that girl? No problem. Just bow down to me. Forget about Jesus, and I'll give it to you. Huh? And what did Jesus say again? What did he reply, Sarah?
Away from me, Satan.
You worship the Lord your God. You went back to the Word, right? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? That's the same thing we have to do. Listen, the enemy is always going to be trying to tempt you to make an alliance with him. A little bit of compromise. The Bible says a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what he wants, just for you to compromise a little bit. I'm sorry, I have to do this. Okay. Because honestly, with Satan, there's no such thing as a little compromise. You know what I'm saying? There's one thing Satan wants. Can I tell you? There's one thing Satan wants. It's all of you. It's your heart. He'll say, honey, I just want you to compromise a little bit in this area. That's all, just a little bit. That's what he'll say to you. Well, I guess it's not that big of a deal, is it? And then he just wants a little bit more. And more. And more. Stop him right now. Go back. What is it written? You shall worship and serve the Lord God your only. Do you think your heavenly Father has got good plans for you or evil plans for you? Do you think his plans for you are wicked and to trick you? Or no, just the opposite. It says, we have a little scripture verse. Everybody who came by our house for Halloween, it was great. We had a bunch of tracks out, and little Zeke and Nehemiah, every time somebody came to the door, hello! And that was Zeke. That's my Zeke voice. And they would get a really good piece of candy, and they would get a track, a gospel track. Because every day, what scripture says, make the most of every opportunity. How many times are people going to come to my door? Okay, great.
Want something.
Sure. I'll give you candy. Just take the word with you. Boop. So whether they were two or, I was going to say 202, but you get the idea.
They get a candy and a treat.
And a track. That's right. That's right. And a treat. But there's something that's written on the outside of our door.
Yeah.
And what is written, Lisa?
I think it comes as the only story, but I have come to give eternal life for everlasting.
give you life abundantly. Yes. You can trust your Heavenly Father. Listen, He loves you. And He loves you with an everlasting love. Not with a selfish love, which isn't really love at all. Don't make those alliances with the world. Don't make those compromises. And if you're doing that right now, the good news is God got you here on the middle of a Thursday night, filled with chili and some sort of mutant berry pie, to tell you to break the alliance and to break it now and to worship and serve the Lord God only. Amen? Does that make sense, guys? The mutant pie. Okay. Yes.
Jesus did say in Mark 3:5 that a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yes.
And you know, with Solomon, you see that his house did not stand. It was end up being divided. The land was divided, and his it had such consequences.
Yes.
Not only on his family, but on the whole nation.
Yes. And here's what we don't like to think. We don't think of the world as being that bad, but everybody in the back of your Bibles, I want you to turn there. If you don't have your own Bible, would you tell me? Because I want to gift you a Bible. Because I want you to be able to underline. Did you know you can do that? You can underline things that God's speaking to you in your Bible. You can write. You can even highlight. We're crazy here. You can actually highlight. Because God is going to bring something to your attention that you might want to show you later on. But go to 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. 1 John, and I love to see, and listen, if you have a hard time finding it, there's an index in the very front of your Bible.
I got it
right
here.
Oh, you're
which John?
I just made it easy place. Sorry, oh, that hurt. I thought you didn't know. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. It's the first scripture the Lord ever had me memorize. And I remember doing it outside of a dentist's office. I was a business guy. I was almost 30. I just came to the Lord. And I was very worldly. And this is the first thing God ever spoke that I never really heard the Lord speak. I grew up in church, but I was never really a believer. And this is the first thing He really spoke to my heart and He had me memorize. And so, does somebody want to read that for me? 1 John chapter 2. You've already read it. 15, 17. So I'll let you do it in a minute. I want somebody else. Yes. Nice and loud, Janinski.
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Ouch.
For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Amen. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? It's pretty convicting, don't you think? Yes. Think about that. No, I want to hear it. Please, Mrs. Schoenbauer.
What always gets me about Solomon is, you know, this, we're reading basically the beginning of what's set in motion for him, his total disobedience, you know, the wives, and then the more wives, and the more wives, and then the horses, and then more horses, and,
yes,
and then it comes down to when he's disobeyed everything,
yes,
that is written in, even in Deuteronomy, where it says the king should not take four wives, should not accumulate horses, I mean, you could not accumulate gold for themselves,
yes,
three things that the Israelite king should not ever do.
He does.
He just sets in motion and just,
yes,
allows the next thing to take in. And I think that's when we allow Satan to come in and allow that disobedience and allow that kind of sin pattern in our lives,
oh,
we can just start steamrolling on destruction. You know what I mean? Just let those things, more things in. And they can destroy our walk and destroy the things that God would have for us.
Is that true, guys?
Yes.
I've watched it. Yes.
So, did he already have a wisdom God gave him at this point?
Okay. I'm going to say no and yes.
I was thinking, like, you can know the right thing, but you still choose to do it.
Now here's the thing. first off, he does have some wisdom because David is the one that was his dad. Okay, so there are certain things, like if you read in, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so give me just one quick second. In Proverbs, let's see, chapter 4, okay, Solomon wrote Proverbs, most of the Proverbs, right? The wise man, and he says, in there, you know, listen, my son, to a father's instruction, pay attention and gain understanding. And it says, he says in verse 3, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. In verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 4, he says, get wisdom and understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She'll protect you. Love her. She'll watch over you. So in one sense, yes, he had that. Because what we're going to see in a minute is what he asks for when he can ask God for everything. He has the wisdom to ask for wisdom. So yes, he does because of his dad. And instilling the word from him. And if, guys, if you have Christian parents, maybe they're annoying and can be over the, whatever, but my God, you have the gift of gifts that your mom or your dad is instilling the word of God in you, at least in some way. That's a privilege. So he had enough wisdom to ask when God came to him and asked for everything. Like, I don't know if you ever did that when you were a kid. Like, in a minute we're going to see. Like, if you ever did that when you were a kid, like, if you had one wish, what would you wish for? There's some kids who would say pizza. Pick, pick, pick. Okay. You know, what did you say?
$1 million.
All right, okay. Think it through. Three wishes?
A million wishes.
Why not just unlimited? Well, he couldn't do that. He had to really make this wish count, you know? You think of, that's what most people, $1 million, a car, pizza, whatever you're thinking, that's what it. But Solomon asked for something cool. He asked for wisdom. Yes, God's wisdom.
Just not like a question.
Yeah.
You know how they said they weren't supposed to keep a lot of gold?
Yes.
Like, what if they were just doing in treasury just in case they got in debt? Would that be okay? Or, like, is there a difference between that and what the king, what Solomon was doing, or...
Yes, that's a good question. Okay, this is what it says specifically in Kings chapter 11. You know, it says that, yeah, you're not to multiply your wives, which you did. You're not to do the horses. So he did all these things, and he says you're not to accumulate large quantities of gold and silver. And what it says was that in 1 Kings 10, there was so much money that he had that it says specifically that silver was considered of little value. Nothing was made of silver. Everything was made of pure gold because silver was of considered little value. So imagine having so much money that, you know, silver, it's not even for the commoners in the city. You know, what's silver? I'll take it. You got extra silver? I'll take it. I'll melt it down. That's valuable.
I'll take the silver. I'm almost done. I'll wait till the next king.
He accumulated, but he did what was wrong in the Lord's eyes. So it's okay to save it. That's a good thing. That's a wise thing. But if you're just, if that's your goal, is to amass, right, it's the wrong heart because you can't serve both God and money.
And I think you hit the nail on the head with the heart comment because, right, I mean, he was granted wisdom. I kind of struggled with that for a long time because you're so smart. Don't you know that having 700 wives or whatever it was?
You think after the first one, a little bit of time there, maybe it's not the best idea.
I'm just saying, I mean, so, like, and that's not a slam on wives. It's just like chaos. I mean,
it's a slam on wives.
I mean, but no. 700 wives. I don't know. Like,
why
is it not? But, so really it tells you that, you know, you can be the smartest person in the world, because he was. And you can do some nice, stupid things if your heart is not set up right. So that's what you were getting.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what we're getting. Yes, you could have all that wisdom too. If you're not applying it in your life and in your heart, it's wasting it. Do you know what I'm saying? If it's not a part of who you are, what difference does it make how smart and brilliant you are? All right, let's go on. Okay, we're in verse 1.
Okay, progress is progress.
Okay, verse 2. Somebody read that. Or back in 1 Kings. There's just a lot of cool stuff, I think, in the Old Testament.
There's so much to talk about.
There is. Okay, so verse 2. What does it say? Somebody read that for me. Okay, go ahead, son. Nice and loud.
The people, however, were still
sacrificing. Yes. So when he's talking about high places, okay, so the people of Israel were still worshiping in high places. I want to show you something. Okay. Well, I'll wait for that. Okay, a high place would usually be on a high place. Okay? And God had a specific way that he wanted to be worshipped, okay? He wanted to be worshipped in one place, in the tabernacle, and so there's kind of one place to go. And people didn't want to do that. They wanted to worship where they wanted. Almost like today, like God says, hey, I want you to be a part of a body. Right? There's different parts of a body. I want you to be a part of a church. I want you to be an integral church, not just show up on Sunday, because I want, he describes it in Corinthians 12, some of you are like a hand, some of you are the feet, some of you are the eyes of the body, some of you are the tongue, some of you are the belly button, I don't know. But the point is, we're all part of a body. He wants you to be a part of that body. In other words, he's going to give you gifts to use in this body. He's going to give you gifts to use in this body, and me gifts, and we're going to use them together. I don't have every gift. This is not the Darren show. This is the Holy Spirit wants to bring you here for a reason, to share your gifts with the body and to learn and grow together. That's what he wants. And so, you know, that's why he says to come here and to come together as a body of believers so that we can learn and grow together and make mistakes together. And so, but they didn't want to do that. Kind of like today, it's kind of the fancy thing as I just show up on Sunday, or I just go do my own thing. I find God out, you know, when I'm rowing in my canoe, or I just like to be at home and find God there. And listen, I'm not saying you can't find God there. Of course you can. You can be just as close with God in a canoe or in a mine, you know, 2,000 feet underground. I've got a guy that I gave a Bible to. He's in a nuclear submarine. Okay, right now, in the depths of the ocean, okay, he can be just as close to God as we are right here. However, with that being said, that's not an excuse to avoid coming together and worship where God says to worship. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, but the people were kind of like, I don't want to do that. It's inconvenient to drive all that way across town. You know what I mean? Or all that way across country. So, you know, I'm just going to make my own high place. And that's what the pagans would do. They'd find a really high place, like a mountain, and you know why they do that? So they could be, in their minds, I'm really closer to God. The higher I am, there he is. Hey, God, now you can see me. Which, of course, is silly. So this is actually a picture of a high place that we went to in Israel. When we were in Israel, my wife and I. This one's actually from Megiddo. But there's another one, they've got a few. And so, up on the high place, they've got this little steps, God bless you, and an altar, they built it up, and that's where they would do their sacrifices and things there, where they wanted to do it. But that's not what God said. God didn't want them to worship there. God wanted them to do it where he said. And so they would worship in the high places.
An example.
Yes.
It wasn't built yet.
The temple was not built yet. That's correct. However, with that being said, the tabernacle was still there and was still around. And that's where they were supposed to worship at that time. And David had also brought the Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, to Jerusalem. So they could worship there too, at the prescribed places where God said he would be and to meet with the people. It's just that people, again, they want to do what they want to do. Because it's more convenient for them. Now it's popular. I don't need church. I don't need... Well, you know what? God says you do. You're meant to be a part of the body.
It was also prescribed under the law, too, that the priest offered the sacrifices.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that wasn't going to happen at the high court places unless the whole priesthood was there.
Yes.
Generally weren't.
That's right. That's right. You know, in Deuteronomy, you, just for those of you who want to look it up later, you have to do it right now. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, it says this in verses like 1 to 5. It says, these are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord your God of your fathers has given you to possess. As long as you live in the land, as you're going into Israel, he goes, this is what he says. God says, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their name from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. Okay? So the folks aren't really listening. But Solomon does, which I think is really cool. In verse 3, 1 Kings 3. Who wants to read verse 3 for me? 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to hold it back for you.
I'll do it.
Okay.
And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Mm.
What do you notice about that verse? Read it again. Just read it to yourself or read it out loud, whatever you want to do. Just read it again. What are some things you notice about that verse?
She
played the field with other guys. Wait, what? Yes.
One thing I think is interesting is it said, it said that he loved the Lord by walking, by walking according to the statutes of his father David. And so, while yes, people have wisdom and you do need, like, obviously I'm not going to disregard everybody's wisdom just because God knows the best, but I think it's wrong to base your entire life off of other, off of wisdom or statutes that people set for you. I think it needs to be striving for God's standards, not other people's, even if they are wise.
Yes.
Like, use people's wisdom a little bit, but that shouldn't be your ultimate standard.
Absolutely not. You know, that Harvard has a, I don't know if they still have this anymore, but a pastor I know had, there was these books that you could get, what they call it? I'm trying to remember back now. What's it called? Like the 5-foot bookshelf from Harvard. And you could get, for like $100 a month, you get these leather-bound books of all the wisest things. It's kind of like that, but like it's of the wisest men that ever walked on the earth. And it's from Harvard.
Is
the number one school.
In there?
The Bible's not in there at all.
Yeah.
See, that's the wisdom of the world. And it also says, I think you brought up, two things. You brought up a great point. You know, he loved the Lord, except that's the Achilles heel of most Christians. And they wonder why things aren't going well for them or in their life or why they're not close to God. Because they got the except in there. Do you know what I'm saying? That shouldn't be a part of our life. It's the except that's killing you. I love Jesus, except I just can't click on pornography. I love Jesus, except I just lie all the time. I love Jesus, except that I never read my Bible. It's the except that's killing you. That's why you're weak. And the other thing is fantastic, what Action Jackson just said. You know, it says that he showed his love by walking according to the statutes of his father. It's not just knowing, right? The wisdom, or even the wisdom of God, it's walking it out. Why do you think they call it your Christian walk? Tell me. I don't have the answer. I'm just asking you. What?
It's an action verb. It's a journey.
It's an action. It's a verb. It's a journey. Right?
You just keep choosing where you're going to, what decision you're going to make every time. It's like when you walk.
That's right. It's good. All good.
Well, I think one thing, too, is that walking, it's easy to do and it's easy not to do. And that's what it, that's the same way it is with God. It's easy to make the small choices to follow Him every day. It's easy enough to do as well. So I think what maybe also what he's trying to illustrate is that you can make the small choices to do it or you cannot. It's easy
yes.
to do and easy not to do.
It's not just enough to know it. If you're just a Bible fathead or something, or you've been to church or youth group or whatever, or your parents drilled it into you, that's not being a Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? At first it says he showed his love. Now 1 John chapter 14, either verse 21 or 23, says, Jesus says, he who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In other words, I'm showing my love for Jesus by obeying his commands. That's proving love. And it says, and not just in here, I'm walking it out in my life. Listen, go back to 1 John, okay, in the back of your Bible. Turn to 1 John. I'm going to make you guys work. I'm working for it. I'm making you, oh, you can't tell if you're working or just texting. But okay, good. Okay, you're working. All right, right. Okay. First John, chapter dos, for my Spanish-speaking friends. Zwei, for my German friends. Thank you. All right, First John, chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. Neely, will you read that for me?
We know that we have.
Nice and loud.
We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar.
Boom!
And the truth is not in him.
Whoa! I'm just saying. That's like a double whammy. The man and the woman says, oh, I know Jesus. I just don't walk with him. I don't obey him. I love him. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. But I'm not obeying him. He's a what? He's a liar. That's pretty brutal, don't you think? Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, like, liar? I mean, that's pretty strong, don't you think? Like, what? Liar! And if that's not enough, he says, and the truth isn't in him. Who's the truth? Who does the Bible say is the truth?
Jesus.
He's saying that, that's right, Jesus isn't even in him. Keep going. What does the rest of that say?
But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. This is a real question, right? It's like, I don't walk in the desert of here.
No, what I was asking is, do we have to completely follow it? Because we do make mistakes sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, he knows that. He's gracious. But, you know, he knows if we stumble and fall, I do it. But I'm walking. You know what I mean? Even if I stumble and fall, I get back up again. Lord, will you please forgive me? I want to keep going.
Yeah,
that
makes
sense.
Well, what is your aim? What's your target? All those other things.
Yeah.
If you're trying and you are making mistakes, you're not going to get upset for the kids when they try to walk and they fall.
The difference between like since a dog returns to his vomit or a pig back to the mud, the proverb says. So it's almost like this. You know, are you a pig or a sheep? The pig just wants to go back to the mud and stay there. The sheep might fall into the mud, but she wants to get out of the mud. You know what I'm saying? It's struggling to get out.
The shepherd has to get out.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
That is my.
So I think that's really good. Since you're in 1 John, why don't you go to 3 John, verses 3 and 4. It just should be a page. Maybe you don't even know this exists. Nothing pleases the Lord more. You can grieve the Lord's heart. The Bible says you can make him sad when you disobey. You can also make him joyful when you obey. When you're obeying God, let me tell you, my heart sings as your pastor. When you're walking with him and giving like Jesus and loving like Jesus and serving like Jesus, and oh man, my heart soars. And so does God's, I think. Let's read what 3 John. Verses 3 and 4 say. Can somebody read that for me? 3 John. Greg, go ahead.
It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified of about your faithfulness to the truth, knowing how you continue to walk in
it. See? So Paul's saying, hey man, it brought me great joy when I heard that you still are being faithful. You're walking in it. You're doing the things that God says. You're not just a talker, you're a walker. Go ahead, keep going. Okay.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Amen! I have no greater joy. Listen, if you go out of here and say, oh man, that Darren is such a great guy. Oh, that Darren is such a great preacher. Oh, that Darren is such a great... Who cares? Oh, that church is so great. Oh, that school is so great. Oh, that Bible study is so great. What I care is you say, oh my God, that Jesus is so great. Oh, that God is so awesome. I want to walk with Him. I want to know Him. I want you to be excited about this God who loves you and knows everything about you, wants this intimate relationship with you that's real and personal. That is so cool. And to hear that you're walking in that, because I know you'll affect other people when you choose to walk with Jesus. When you choose to walk with Jesus. I know that God will use you to spill that over into other people's lives. Positive. 100%. You too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, you brought up at a different Bible study too that there's greater affecting people for the good or infecting them with the bad. Like, we're always doing something.
Yes.
We're always affecting everybody around us. We think we're in a bubble and, like, what I do doesn't matter, but everything we do matters. It affects everybody around us.
Yes. That's, you know what? That was a good Bible study. That's before we started taping. Dang. But yes, that is very true. You're either you're affecting people around you with the good of the Lord, or you're infecting them with the disease of sin and selfishness. It's your choice. Yes?
Well, what you said about, you know, people walking out of here, you know, kind of praising you versus praising God.
Yes.
Actually, it makes me think of this verse in 1 Kings, you know, verse 3. I wonder if he was, you know, going through the motions because he was following his father's footsteps versus following our father's footsteps. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it does show, though, that he did pray and ask the Lord when the Lord visited him in a dream that he asked God for wisdom. And that's what pleased God, is the fact that he could ask for a lot of things.
Yes.
So it does show that Solomon did, in the beginning, have a heart
yes.
that wanted to walk with
yes.
God and wanted to rule the people with the heart of God.
Agreed. I do agree. You know, it's but again, it's that continual walking it out. If you start with this, I see watch a lot of people with the big sprint in the beginning, but they never really learn to perseveringly walk with the Lord through the hard times. Sometimes the walk with the Lord, it gets heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not always an easy walk. Sometimes it's rainy and stormy. Sometimes it's uphill. I mean, it's not always a bed of roses, right?
You know, Darren, I gotta say, sometimes...
You say it.
Sometimes success, okay?
Yes.
Success and wealth is a real terrible temptation in our life because it can actually cause us to go astray because we get so fucked up by it. And I think that's what happened with Solomon. He got puffed up with all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the fame he had. And it turned him away. When you look at Ecclesiastes, and at the end of his life, he realized he pursued everything, but he was puffed up.
Yes. You know, the Lord says in, I believe it's in the Psalms, I was trying to find it here real quickly, but he actually says, give me neither poverty nor riches. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Because if he says, you know, if I'm poor, then I may be tempted to steal and dishonor my God. And if I'm rich, then I may become prideful, that I might forget about the name of the Lord my God. That's why he says when you pray, we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So there's that constant reliance on him. Does that make sense? That's what he wants. It's. Yeah.
Oh, yes. You said about sometimes your work gets heavy.
I've experienced that, and I. It's funny though because you're walking through this world. You're gonna walk with Him. You're gonna walk without Him. But even when it's heavy with the Lord, it doesn't get better to walk away from Him. It only gets worse. So even if you're walking with the Lord and it's difficult and it's dry and it's heavy, it's gonna be 10 times worse or 100 times worse to walk away from Him.
Yes. You know what'll happen is here's what the enemy does. Since he wants you to compromise, he's going to offer you the things of the world. It does say in the Bible that sin is pleasurable for a season. So in order to make that alliance with you, he's going to give something you really like. And something that you really like is going to be different from what you really like and what you really like. But he's going to put that little temptation. And that sin is pleasurable for a season. So it's almost like at first, oh, I'm so free. I'm so happy right now. You ever have watch people, they go off and sin? That's almost the first thing that they always say. I've watched them. Yeah, this is so much better. I'm so free. I'm so this. I'm so that. And then you talk to them a month, 2 months, a year or two later, and they're like the miserablest people on the planet. And you're thinking, that's
the first season.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of knew it as the, well, that in an opposite, that when someone, several times has happened in my life where someone who's not a believer or who's away from the Lord is in crisis, and then they'll come and, you know, we'll have this session, I'll say, you know, just lay it out, you have to turn to the Lord, you're not going to be happy, blah, 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 you know, you lay the whole thing out. And then they walk away, and I know it's coming. I said, now, tomorrow, everything's going to turn out right for them.
Yeah.
It's like Satan takes the pressure off because, you know what I mean, they're at this point of crisis. And it happened to me recently with someone. I counseled them, and I was like, no, you're not going to be right, so you turn your life over to the Lord. And it was like the next day, oh, the sky was open. Everything that they were wanting, you know, seemed to come through.
How convenient.
Yeah.
Here's that temptation. I'll offer that alliance. See? Just bow down and worship me. Things will be better. Forget about that Jesus. Just bow down and worship me. I almost picture like the some of them TV preachers with the white teeth. You know, with the jail tire. Yeah, everything will be better. How about that fakeness? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That's what Satan is. He's a deceiver. He masquerades as an angel of light. That's what he does. That's who he is.
You said that Satan comes you with a little temptation, but it's funny, I think sometimes we don't realize that sometimes it's not going to be something small, sometimes it'll be something very big that will come and like smack us across the head and we won't see it coming. Because we always expect it to be a little thing. Sometimes it'll be, you know, something large, like someone just comes out.
What you've always wanted. Yes.
Or
the job that you could never say no to.
Yeah, like the guy or the girl that you would never dream of asking out or whatever.
Right.
But you know they're not a believer. And it's like, it's like so overpowering because you're only protecting yourself against the small stuff.
That's a good point.
You never expect the big stuff. But it's there. And if Satan can get you the small stuff, he's going to go into trouble.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Oops, would you please? What was that? Vice versa what?
Sometimes vice versa can get you the small.
Yeah.
He's going to find out whatever works to make you trip up.
Exactly. Yeah, good.
You know, when Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, you know, the thing is that he may have begun in the beginning thinking, well, I'm wise. Everything I do is wise. So if I make a choice to do this, that's godly wisdom. God's given me the wisdom. And I can do this because I'm so wise. You start to believe that you can do anything and make choices that he wants to make.
Yes.
And not even take the time to look into God's word to see the right way.
Absolutely.
Not what God says. Just automatically assume that his decisions are being led by the Lord.
Yes.
Because after all, I have some wisdom right there.
Yes.
And here I am.
Well, I think a lot of people can do that too, or you can take on worldly wisdom. You can sometimes even take on, hear me out now, don't stone me, godly wisdom instead of asking the Holy Spirit. See, God wants you into that intimate relationship, guys. So in other words, sometimes you can even know the right word, right? But God, I don't even know, how can I say this? Sometimes there's a situation that can go either way, okay? And you have to make sure that you're constantly inquiring of the Holy Spirit as well. That you're filling yourself with the Word of God to rightly to be able to discern the truth and God's will for your life. But also asking the Holy Spirit, because maybe there's a timing issue. So it's kind of like both those things working in conjunction together in your walk with the Lord. And you know, we're going to talk about that discernment and the Word of God in a little bit. But believe it or not, it has already been an hour that we have been in the Scriptures. It's now after 8. And so, wow. So I had more cool pictures, but
no, show us
I guess you're going to have to wait till next week. Is there one thing that you can say encapsulates, or one thing that God spoke to you today? Is there one thing, Joe specifically, you would maybe stop tickling your friend, that'd be super. If there's one thing that you can that you take home today that God spoke to you, one thing.
Okay, so we're on one song. I know I'm so surprised. The last thing you said actually spoke to me because I was raised knowing the Word, and I'm always so quick to like pull a verse out and slap somebody with it. But a lot of times, like, I can't know the whole situation because I'm not omnipotent. I don't know everything. And the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
So here I'm talking to an unbelieving friend, and I'm thinking, okay, this is the moment, because I think this is the moment that I'm going to tell them this, and they're going to. But the Holy Spirit has all wisdom. So He knows the right time, the right words. And a lot of times, when people come to Christ, it's amazing. The thing that the small thing that turns them is something we would never think of. It's very minor, but the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
So it's hard for me to rely on the Holy Spirit because I don't experience Him very much yet. But you're right. Like, I have a lot of Bible knowledge that I try to apply on my own, and then I wonder why it doesn't work. Because I'm like, it's from the Bible. It should work. But it doesn't, because I'm not, because the teacher's still there to like help me to apply it properly, and I'm not even asked.
Right, you've got the knowledge, but it's sometimes how do we apply that wisdom? That's from the Holy Spirit, too. Sometimes, like, you could have the perfect verse. I've had, like, situations where I have the perfect verse to counsel you, and God is like, no, I want you to share this testimony. Or I want you to go way over and share this story. I'm like, what? And it's, oh, my gosh, that so spoke to me. Really? You know what I mean? But that's what He wanted to share.
Because that's still worldly wisdom, to use whatever tools we have to do it our own.
Yes, or to think that, see, you're a different person than him. And to think that the exact same thing, in the exact same way, God treats each one of us, He might have the same concepts or the same, but how He does it it could be different.
Or there's a time for our hearts.
Absolutely. So good. What's one thing you learned today?
Well, you know, in the world, obviously, we're going to be influenced by a lot of things, whether that's our friends, or whether that's the devil, or whether that's God, or it could be a vast majority of things. So we were talking a lot about today about how the devil will try to influence you, about how the devil will try to sway you off track.
Yes.
So it's important whatever you're doing, whether you're sitting down to the sport or in church or whatever, if you're out with friends, to discern what God's will is, what the devil's will is, because there's two different things.
Yes.
And the devil will disguise himself to try to make it look like, you know, whatever you might do is godly, but it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to discern what God's will is and whatever the deal
is. Absolutely. Next week we're gonna talk about discernment. Yes, how's it kind of? One thing that
I just try to do that, like, not be prideful when the Lord gives you, like, when the Lord gives you something good in your life, not to be proud about it and be like, oh, look at me.
Yeah, that's right. Now I can do everything.
Just to be humble.
Yeah. Agreed. Good. Excellent. What else? One thing the Lord spoke to you. Yes.
The word accept.
The word accept?
I love the word accept. I feel like I'm stuck. So there are probably multiple accepts that I haven't let go of. And then I kind of, well, exactly the same actually, what they're both saying. As well, and when I'm
example or something to them, I don't feel like I genuinely love them. I don't feel like I'm being, not all of them, of course, but I don't feel like I'm genuinely doing something kind of out of love. And it kind of feels mechanical, and then, you know, like I'll try to throw something out of the Bible at them, and it doesn't, it's kind of like blaspheming the Lord, because it, even though, it's not coming out right, it's like I'm using it like a whip to hit somebody with it, you know, verbally.
Instead of a hand
in your
to
face,
help them
off. Yeah, right. And it's not making Jesus look loving. Because my actions are not really loving, they're kind of faith and class.
Thank the Lord that you're showing those things. Honestly, thank you, Lord. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Good. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, I just like how you find like the walk with the Lord, like with the world. God, not the world.
Yeah.
And it just made me think about like my every move. Is it bringing me a step closer or a step further away?
That's good. Are you affecting people in a good way or infecting them like a disease? Yes, Ray.
To me, it seemed like our Father in heaven above and only above any other gods, you know, in the secular world. There's many, many gods that people make. I think of God. My God, along with him.
That's right.
First and foremost.
Yeah. Our God, worship him. Good. That next week. So that's exactly what I want to talk about.
Okay.
That's good. JoJo?
I want to say, like, we need to be careful when we do get something good, something that we want. Because, like you said, the devil will give us what we want in order to bring us closer to him.
Loving God, you know, I'll give God my life except for my TV choice.
Yes.
You know, or you know, whatever
yes.
it is. I mean, that's what I feel.
Yes, yes.
Discovery.
It's good. See, and you know what, guys? I really love and appreciate how you guys can open up and share that. See, that makes, that warms my heart when you say those type of things, or Neely, or some of you guys are sharing. That is what being part of a body is about. What you're sharing, your weaknesses, other people feel the same way at different times. And maybe not now, maybe later, or maybe you can each come around each other and encourage and strengthen the way we know this. So I really appreciate when we're open and honest and can share these things. Not so that we can crack the whip, you know what I'm saying? But to bring the loving hand. So I'm very excited that you guys share those things, and we all grow when we all share. So thank you for doing that. Is there anything else before we close out? If there is, I want to hear it. And if not, then other than Rebecca, who has talked more than six times. No, I can't. Sorry.
Sorry,
that's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I wanted to say it earlier, but I can't.
Sorry. You can talk as much as you want. I love it.
It was, I forgot his name. Pat?
Right. Pat was saying something about when he's talking to his kids that, like, if they're a believer, if they're in love with the Lord, that's number one. Right? That's like, if that's not there, don't even look at that. Right? Anyway, so I had always dated non-believers and always thought, well, but they're nice guys. And so I had discussions with my sister Natalie. I'd broken up with, I was about to break up with this guy that was a Christian. And I was like, but he's a Christian. He was the guy like this church and all of a sudden. She's like, Rebecca, being a Christian should be like, is there air in his lungs? Okay, so let's start there. And yes, there's actually other places to go to from there. And it was like the most amazing thing that, of course, I laughed at it, but it was like made sense. Like, okay, so it's actually like number one. Is this person alive? Okay, if they're not a Christian, then what am I doing with them?
That's a great point. If they're born again,
right? Right.
And yeah, otherwise, they're a dead man walking or a dead woman walking, right? That's good.
Anyway, I thought it was so funny when I said this.
Love it. All right, somebody want to close us out in prayer? Does anybody feel led? Anybody feel led at all? I would like you to pray for us and over this body. And Rebecca, if you do, you can. If you feel led.
As a lot of short, I guess.
Number seven, you can. Anybody? Okay. Who said? Will you pray for us? Okay. Talk to Jesus.